Reading from the Good News according to Luke.
Glory to you, Lord.
Mary set out, proceeding in haste into the hill country to a town of Judah, where she entered Zechariah's house and greeted Elizabeth. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the baby stirred in her womb. Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit and cried out in a loud voice, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. But who am I that the mother of my Lord should come to me? The moment your greeting sounded in my ears, the baby stirred in my womb for joy. Blessed is she who trusted that the Lord's words to her would be fulfilled." This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
To Bethlehem. We gathered last week here in the warmth and joy of the third Sunday of Advent. We came to put, as always, our petitions before our God, to ask his consolation, to be renewed in his love. But when we gathered last week in that sacred setting, in this holy place, we were confronted, ready or not, by the stark figure of John the Baptist, standing so tall in our midst, pointing his finger at us, calling all sinners to repentance, to clean up our lives, to straighten out the crookedness in our behavior, to make ready the way of the Lord. He is and was an awesome figure. And in this particular community of faith, last week, encountered by John, we were invited to see two roles in the great drama of salvation history before us. John and the sinful people to whom he spoke. We were invited, each one of us, to choose a role. And we admitted together that precious few, if any of us, could rise to the stature of a John the Baptist. With a certain earned self-righteousness, looking down from the lofty heights of personal commitment and heroic virtue in the name of the Lord, pointing out to others how they must turn themselves around. I think we chose rather, perhaps to the last man, woman, and child among us, to identify with the people to whom the prophet spoke. And we recognized that except for a very special grace of God, we cannot go leaping and bounding from one stage of human development to another just because we wish it, that we probably had to plod our way along the path of salvation. And that maybe what God said to us in the person of John the Baptist in the context of last week's liturgy was, just be a little better the Christian you already are. A more patient parent. A more obedient child. A more studious student. A more honest clerk or teller. A more tender and loving caregiver. Whatever our role, to be that with a little more passion, with just perhaps a wee bit more integrity and sense of purpose and mission in bringing forth Jesus to the world of our time in a way that our neighbors near and far could touch him and through us be touched. Comes now the people of God to this last Sunday of Advent, this last great gathering of the holy people, before they try to embrace in all its fullness the coming of the Lord on our great feast of Christmas. And once again, confronted in a manner of speaking by a sacred play of life, another act or chapter in the drama of salvation. And this morning, John fades in memory, and Mary steps forward in the company of Elizabeth, her cousin. Both pregnant with life, both filled with promise and hope. But in God's mysterious love, playing out their roles in really distinctly different ways. How teasing is the gospel this morning that after the greeting of Elizabeth, the church pauses and lets us just remember rather than hear explicitly how Mary responded when greeted as Mother of the Lord. She stood there, gateway between the testaments, doorway that opens upon hope and fulfillment, and says, "My soul does magnify the Lord. All generations from here on will call me blessed. I will play a role no one can deny. The world will never again be the same because I have said my great amen. Fiat, so be it through me. The Spirit come life-giving to a world so life-needing." But Elizabeth, you might say in a sacred befuddlement, looking on, not really able to grasp it all, less aware of the full implications than Mary herself. Mary, ready to be the doorway between the old and the new, Elizabeth, a kind of spectator, but at the same time knowing that the fact of Mary and the coming of Jesus gives her new power and calls her to some new role. And she says, "How can this be that the mother of my Lord should come to me?" But destined thereafter not to go hand in hand with Jesus through those mysterious years of his growing up life, never called to be there as sad witness at his crucifixion, Elizabeth destined to fade after that moment into the ordinariness of the life of a loving human being, a tender woman, just doing what God gives her the grace to do. The consequences of her acceptance being the coming forth of John, who confronted us last week. What a wonderful, complex mystery it is. How exciting to once again be asked by the grace of God and the context of the liturgy to choose a role. And so, somewhat like last week, with Mary now standing tall before us, the church in effect says, "All you who can stand up with John the Baptist, Martin Luther King, Mohandas Gandhi, Oscar Romero, Father Aristide in Haiti, you who are built strong and tall like that, who can play prophet, proclaim your prophecy, let the whole world shake while you do it in the company of Mary. But to all of you who, like Elizabeth, are still somewhat confused, while delighted with the facts and the implications of it all, the church, the liturgy, God's Spirit says, accept it, delight in it, just be you, and life in you will come forth in ways you could not imagine. God will see to it and carry it to its fulfillment. You can return to the kitchen or the classroom, to the office. You can return to the ordinary place where you spend your day and just be you, different, because God has kissed you with a destiny to bring forth grace to the world. No one will ever know it. More than likely, no irreverence meant To the most learned among you, more than likely none of us will ever write a word that will be carved in stone and preserved for the ages. But each and every one of us here has the invitation, the power, the freedom, the opportunity from this moment, like Elizabeth, to just be part of it all. Be glad that it happens. Don't get in the way. Bring forth, even in confusion, the gift that God has placed so mysteriously within you. I cannot refrain this morning, meeting Elizabeth in today's gospel, from sharing the thought that struck me, the grace that has brightened me these days, to remember that my mother was, in name and in fact, Elizabeth. Except as they are written in the hearts of her children and the neighbors who knew her, my mother's words will fade with time. But the goodness, the simplicity of her acceptance, of her role in this confusing and confronting world has already made a difference. It would be not like some great splash, but like little ripples moving outward through her children, her grandchildren, through all those who were just gently touched by her presence. I invite you today, with that first Elizabeth, and the Elizabeth whose simple acceptance of God's will, as she saw it in her time, made it possible for her son to be proclaiming the same good news here. And this in a time when, as we all know, so many people choose not life, but death. Had my mother in her time been more like so many of the people of our time now, she might have said no, for after all, I was the 12th of her 13 children. In her own way, she was saying amen without possibly knowing all its implications. She did not see herself as a heroine, nor did anyone else at the time. In fact, some saw her as a kind of thick-headed, old-fashioned Catholic who just didn't know any better. But her simple amen, like an echo of that of the Elizabeth in the Gospel, made it possible for us to be sharing this good news today. As always, the good news comes in a particular context of history, in some sacred moment with a real, living, breathing people hearing it and able to respond to it. And in what world is it told again this year and in this place? Surely all of us are still feeling the tremors of the terrible event in Armenia. As we think and reflect this morning on God's power to impregnate the earth and his people and bring forth new life, Mother Earth seems to have turned against us, opened up and swallowed more than 50,000 of our own sisters and brothers. What does Elizabeth, what does the church, what does Mary do in such a time? Reaches out, not necessarily with dramatic gestures, but reaches out by a presence of faith, an affirmation of life, hoping that by God's grace it will reach even to those discouraged and perhaps now hopeless people. This word is proclaimed at a time in history when the statistics should stagger anyone with the power to comprehend how many times young women, in truth often just little girls, barely arrive at the maturity of fruitfulness, in fear and trembling say no to life. Not usually because they are hostile to life and afraid of it. Not because they are malicious, but they live in a world so intimidating, so threatening, that in their immaturity or in their fear, they are afraid that their amen to life would be a solitary voice with no echo. With Mary and Elizabeth before us, could it perhaps be God's grace for this community today to affirm life, to say yes, in ways that will mean in practice just simple things like being less judgmental, more caring, Can we not solve some of the problems of our society not by playing an unworthy role of John the Baptist going around pointing finger of accusation at others, but opening both arms to embrace those who are afraid, reaching out with tenderness, a determination never to judge, but to lift up people whose experience have made them sad and frightened and unable to face uncertainty of future. I invite you to do that. In my own judgment, which is more than subject to error, yet another prophet has been turned aside in these recent days. Father Aristide, who appeared on our parish bulletin, of whom I've spoken as a brother in solidarity, who stood up for the poor and oppressed in Haiti, has now been ejected from the religious congregation of which he was a member for failing to obey, which he perceived as an order to abandon the poor and to shut his mouth in the face of the oppressors. If my perception and my judgment be true, it is not all that likely another tall prophet like John the Baptist will immediately rise up in his place. But if little people like us, if 100, 1,000, 10,000 Elizabeths would be affirmers of life, giving a message, an example that makes a difference, perhaps somehow or other these many will create the strength by which here and there a noble and courageous prophet will be able to stand up. These are troubled times. These are frightening times. Perhaps none of us here could, even at our best, turn it around. But each of us here, counting on each other, can give it a little push. Maybe like Elizabeth, knowing that Mary has already made the courageous decision, counting on her standing tall, maybe each of us and all of us can move a little closer into the protective shadow of her affirmation and make ours count. How can it be that the mother of our Lord should come to us? How can it be that I and you, such ordinary, plain old folks, could be told that the living God is within us? How is it possible that you and I, by a simple, free choice, could bring new life into the world? Only by God's mysterious grace. The beautiful sense, the message of today's gospel, echoes a passage from the Old Testament long before Mary came to be, but was already in the heart and mind of God. A moment when Moses stood before the people and said, "You have before you the freedom to make a choice. Choose death or choose life." I invite you, I exhort you, in the spirit of this day's liturgy, people of God, choose life.